Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Neil Baker Psychic Hour. I'm Kristen, and I'm here with Neil Baker, psychic and author. Good morning, Neil.
Good morning.
It's Groundhog Day today. Happy Groundhog Day, everyone. Did the groundhog see a shadow or not? I don't even know. Do you know?
No, I don't know if the groundhog saw his shadow. I think Bill Murray saw his shadow.
What, is Bill Murray in a movie?
Called Groundhog Day.
Yeah, well,
he woke up and saw a shadow and...
Yay! 6 back. More weeks of winter!
Really?
Well, that's on the East Coast, though. I just looked. You know, I don't know if we can rely... Can we rely here in California on the groundhog seeing his shadow across the United States?
Well, I would rely more on a groundhog than I would the weatherman.
That's right. If only...
They tend to know these animals have a direct instinct. I think it's one of the things we're going to talk about today in terms of being psychic or intuitive. Animals are very intuitive.
Right.
They have to be.
But how I mean, whether he sees his shadow or not is not intuitive. It's just, you know, physical, right?
Well, actually, he's looking at one of his past lives.
Right.
He sees a shadow. He remembers from his past lives when the dates of rain and winter occur and when summer comes
up.
So I've given readings to groundhogs. It's been amazing. I did a past life regression with a groundhog who was actually, in another lifetime, a unicorn. It's quite interesting what we came up with.
Well, anyway, you know, it certainly doesn't feel like winter here in Southern California. Unfortunately, it's very, very warm. It's shocking for January. In fact, San Francisco, they said, did not see rain at all in January. And for the first time, that's been the first time in 165 years. It's a very rainy city. So, anyway, enough about the weather. We've got a lot of callers in the queue, so we want to get right to our topic. And what happened, Neil, last night is... I was a little bit inspired because, as you know, but the callers may not know, is we are constantly in a working mode in terms of psychic energy. It goes well beyond the radio show, the hour that we give twice a week. And I'm developing my psychic energy with your help. And so what I noticed, because we do exercises like on a nightly basis where, you know, I'll give you a word, we'll look in a book, and we try to connect on that level. Well, as I have experienced in the, I would say probably, I don't know, the last few months, things have accelerated for me. But something I noticed last night is that, you know, I always had strong intuition. I don't think I would have been interested in psychic development had I not had a connection to that from a young age. However, my feelings were always connected to a kind of physical sensation. So, you know, there were certain events in my life where I would feel and know the outcome before it happened. And there was always, like I said, that strong physical sensation associated with it. But I'm finding when I'm the most psychic, you know, we did an exercise the other night where you asked me to think of a word that you, or say a word that you were thinking, and I said it. But there was no sensation associated with it at all. So when I'm the most psychic, I'm finding nowadays, even though I still have those gut feelings and intuitive, you know, the hair standing up on the back of my neck type of thing, when I'm the most psychic, it's completely disassociated with any kind of sensation. I don't even know that I'm being psychic.
Yeah.
So that
clairsentience, clairsentience.
Right, but that would imply a feeling, clairsentience.
Well,
feeling.
It's feeling without the physical body itself.
I see, so that's a higher form of feeling.
Yeah, you're not using the physical body to actually feel anything. We can't always depend. When we're being intuitive, we can use the physical body.
Right.
You know, I get a feeling in my neck,
stomach.
A tap on my nose, something, you know. You can use the physical body in terms of being intuitive, but that's not being psychic.
Intuition is not being psychic.
There are two different things.
So intuition is the first level of being psychic.
Well, psychics, basically, they have to process or translate the insight they receive on the psychic plane into a real-life meaning. Intuitives get more of a flash of insight that needs no translation at all. They just get hit with it. They get a flash. They get hit with it. Sometimes mother's intuition will, mother's intuition, it's an old phrase. But you don't have to really, intuitives just kind of get it, but they get it basically on a lower level of energy, even though it's intuitive, and being intuitive is sort of beyond the form of logic. Being intuitive, you don't equate that with logic. You equate it with a feeling. You equate it with a sensation, something. You know, you get a kick in your gut or something. You get an intuitive thought. It just hits you. But when you're being psychic, now you're being non-physical. And you're in the world of supernatural. You're not in a heightened sense of consciousness within the body. That's an intuitive. They're within the body. They're still housed in their body receiving information. When you're psychic, you're outside of your body. So you're no longer feeling anything about your body that would equate with anything logical or transferable to a sensation of feeling. You're using not your brain to be intuitive. You're using your cosmic consciousness to be knowledgeable. So it's a whole different energy field. And the difference when people say, well, I'm an intuitive, or, you know, that's different. When someone claims to be an intuitive, I deem them to be within the body. Maybe heightened knowledge in terms of being making efforts that are predictable based upon a feeling and sensation, but you're really grabbing that energy from your own astral realm. When you're a psychic, wow. Then you're beyond, you've left the gravity of the earth. You're no longer in the pull of some kind of gravitational field.
Right.
And so you cannot rely on anything that you would equate to a body sensation.
Right. So then, you know, my question is, how do you know, because I don't have any sensation that it indicates to me that I'm being psychic at all, you know, only your response if we're, you know, doing these types of exercises or, you know, if I, you know, there's been other cases that are outside of these exercises where,
well,
you know, words have come into my head or I've said something and then that will occur. But to refine it to a level of being able to know when you're being psychic versus just...
You have to take a leap. You take a leap. First of all, you
actually
use language.
Psychic versus
you
intuition.
Take a leap into faith. So if you take a leap into faith, you go beyond the senses.
Mm-hmm.
For instance, if you're going to be, if you're a clairvoyant, you're seeing not with your naked eye, you're seeing without your physical eye. Clairaudience, you're hearing without your physical ears. You're outside of the body, so you almost have to learn, to be a good psychic, you almost have to learn how to astral project.
Mm-hmm.
You have to learn how to separate your astral body, your etheric body, from your physical body, and learn how to move your consciousness, if you want to call it that, it's in terms of what consciousness the astral body holds, into a sphere beyond the physical range. That means that it's almost like people who sleepwalk. You're not thinking. You're no longer thinking. you've developed an attitude of language that is beyond the human tongue. Now, your human tongue may receive it and convey information you're getting, but that means that you're now a medium. You're conveying information that is not within yourself, but from without yourself.
Right.
You're not getting this because you've got a gut feeling or you're an intuitive. You're getting it because you're actually communicating with something beyond your own being.
Right. So we talk about the higher mind, but also there is a communication that happens with higher spirits, angels, when you're a psychic. Oftentimes, it's not just the connection to the higher mind, which is still connected to, I mean, I suppose it's connected to the astral realm, but it's more connected to self rather than receiving information from higher sources. So how do you differentiate what you're hearing or what you're being fed, where it's coming from?
Well, the analogy would be like the electricity that precedes the toaster before you turn it on. Mm-hmm. When you're energy, you're working with the subtle senses. You're negotiating and listening to a language that isn't even of the human tongue. Your ability, an effective psychic is, I mean, a lot of us can be psychic, but we're not really worth our penny if we can't interpret what we're receiving. So the epitome, the fine-tuning of a good psychic is the ability to interpret the sensations of the energy you're getting. And when I'm in my psychic world, I don't get a language. I get a vibration. Then I convert that into an energy like a television screen.
But it's not a physical vibration?
No.
So how do you feel that vibration if it's not physical?
It's the vibration of interpreting the vibration on a cosmic level. That's why it's hard to describe. That's why we're having difficulty describing what it is to be psychic.
Right.
Because you cannot. You can use crude terminology. You can attempt to build a structure of what it is to be psychic by a language, but the raw experience of being psychic is beyond language. You can bring it down to a level of language, but that's not where it originates from. People who utilize language in terms of being psychic are usually the people who come to me and they say, I want to learn how to be psychic. I want to learn how to be psychic. And they struggle through the physical elements of their being in order to really find the true essence of being psychic. To be psychic is not about the ego.
Right.
You're not about your life and what you've experienced and what you've come. It's not about that at all. It's about what is beyond your life. It's about the universe. So when I talk to people about universal concepts and cosmic concepts, and they're lost, they're not going to be psychic. They can be highly intuitive, maybe, but they're not going to be psychic because to be psychic, you're out of your ego. To be intuitive, you're in your ego. Now, I know we're still talking in abstract terms about even the ego is abstract because you can't really see it. You can manifest it as a feeling or as a personality, but that's only the manifestation. Where my ego is hurt. Can you take it out and take a look at it? You can't. There's nothing there physical, but yet we hold it within our body. That's the ego. That's our feelings, our thoughts, our perceptions. They're intangible, but they're still reachable in terms of a consciousness. Being psychic is not about being conscious. Being psychic is about being cosmic.
Cosmic.
And you have to use the astral body. You have to be able to get, even being empathic, you have to get beyond the idea. You have to become so objective that you're not even in a subjective world anymore. It's not a hunch. It's not a feeling. It's a language from something supernatural that is talking to you.
Right.
And that's a whole different plane.
Totally different.
Oh, now we're talking about connection with angels. I mean, people say, I talk to angels. If you're talking to an angel, you're not in your body. You're out of your body. Biblically speaking, it's called the wilderness. You're in a different region. You're no longer of the earth. You're not of the earth anymore. I conceptualize being psychic with being alien. I'm not a earthling anymore. Because earthlings are not, we're psychic within our soul, but we're not psychic within our body. Not in the true essence,
right?
Because we confuse that with being intuitive. And sometimes intuitiveness dawns, it mimics being psychic. People who are highly intuitive can seem like they're psychic.
Right.
But being intuitive is not talking to an angel.
No.
Talking to an angel is supernatural.
Okay, Neil. Well, we've got to get to our callers, but enlightening, it's an enlightening process for me, of course. So I appreciate that, and thanks to you and to all the higher energies that we work with, because, I mean, it's an amazing experience. Okay. I hate that word amazing, but...
Well, it's...
I'm joking here. Okay, bring on 609. Good morning, 609.
Good morning. How are you doing today?
Good, thanks. Who's this?
I'm sorry, I just took you off a speakerphone.
Oh, thank you, because it's a little bit noisy. What's your name?
It's Phyllis.
I'm sorry, Phyllis?
Phyllis, yeah. How are you doing?
Oh, Phyllis. Phyllis, and we know Phyllis.
Phyllis Dillon.
Yeah.
No, but Phyllis is our friend on Facebook, right?
Yep.
Yeah. Hi, and you've done personal readings with Neil, so
yeah.
I just want to remind Neil who Phyllis is. You're on the East Coast. Okay, what's your birth date, Phyllis? Please.
6/15/67.
67. Okay, and what is your question this morning?
I want to know if you, because I'm going to be, I'm thinking about having another reading with you. I've had a couple now, and I'm kind of needing to know where I'm going. I'm at a standstill again, and I'm not sure. You're just talking about intuitiveness versus psychicness. Sometimes I feel intuitive when I need some outside guidance. So
okay.
This is one of those signs.
Well, lucky for you, when we get into the somewhat necessary mechanics of language, and we have to reduce that to further more to numbers and systems and evaluations of such. Lucky for you, you're an eight, and you're seeking a higher energy of knowledge. Eights are back on the earth, having to restore their seventh energy. Now, indeed, you have a seven in your year in terms of a symbol, which is the seven chakra, Phyllis. And you have a six in your month and your year, which is in terms of the third eye, in terms of the correlation to a chakra system. So you do have those elements. What you don't have in your linear birth date is your actual master number, which is eight. So you're shy of that by one form of energy, which is seven. Your highest birth date is seven, given that we're not looking at the century, and your master number is eight. So you've come back to gain your third eye and your spirituality. So you're in alignment with a logical way of looking at the premise of your existence. The premise being that you've come here to satisfy all the chakra systems and to, in this lifetime, maybe complete the journey, if at all that's possible.
Right.
And theoretically, it is. Theoretically, it's possible for the most of us, unless we're just here karmically karmically confused, and we're just not going to be able to do it in this lifetime. But
aside
from that, Phyllis, you have this strong journey that you're taking, and your intuitive self right now is saying, I need to understand this knowledge because it's the pathway towards my transcendence. But that becomes the beginning of a proper dialogue to getting into cosmic consciousness, which then therefore involves all the higher chakra system, starting with the number five. Beyond the fourth, balance, we're getting into the vocal, the third eye, the crown, and then we get into the more etheric realms beyond the crown itself, and more of those subtle energies where the language is going to be a little bit different because we're talking in a higher esoteric language. Now, I may be jumping the gun and telling you and talking to you as though you're already in some kind of advanced way of looking at it, but that's a compliment to you because I'm gathering that you're kind of taking notes on learning how to pass a test. You don't take a test. You take notes first. Then you take the test.
Yes. Well, I want to ask you something. I want to ask you, I've never heard you talk about it, so don't know. Do you follow the Eastern philosophies at all about, like, the Chinese New Year? Tomorrow starts the solar new year. And there's also the year of the goat coming up, which is actually, or sheep, which is my, I don't know if you deal with that at all.
Well, I deal with life and the experiences of life, and I deal with everything from looking at the lunar, the Chinese, the Eastern, as much as I do looking at a flower and trying to define the world through the petal of a flower. I look at everything.
Okay.
Holistically speaking, it's all part of the general package. Now, from any one particular mode of thinking, I gather what I need and I throw the rest away at any given moment. It may change, it may fluctuate, but I don't remain transfixed on any ode or mode or tradition of thinking.
Ode is
actually the correct word because it's the introduction to the element of thinking. And I don't
that makes
I,
sense.
Yeah. Yeah.
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, that's true. So yes, I do follow those things, and I appreciate all forms of knowledge because it's all part of the totality of our experience on the planet. Just as I accept evilness as much as I do graciousness, it's
sure.
here. I have to deal with it.
That's
okay.
True. Yeah.
We hope that helps. We've got a long list of callers. So,
sure. I'm going to be listening. It's an interesting conversation.
Hey, yeah, I will put you on mute, and hopefully we'll talk with
and
you
soon.
And
I'll be talking to you soon. Thank
Great.
You.
Thank you. Ah, okay. Let us take caller 860. Then we have Kat, who is a Skype caller. I'm just giving people their order here quickly. Then a call from 770-773-609 is on hold. That's Phyllis. Sorry, the board is moving around for me. So that is the order, callers. Let's take 860. This is Susan, 102958-358. Hello, Susan.
Hi. Hi, Neil.
Hi.
It's so cool because I got another snow day today and your show is on. I love your show. My question is that by a couple of different gifted people, I've been first told that I'm from the Blue Star Barn and then told that I'm from Palladians, which makes sense because it's the Blue Star Born. So I want to know how that correlates with my lifetime. And also when I meditate, why I see transmissions coming in. Is that a part of it?
Well, yes. When we're dealing with these aspects, Susan, you're actually involved in your own world in the epitome of your third eye, your sixth chakra. So we're there first of all. Now your sixth chakra is going to hold the actual blue light energy, as much as that energy emanates from your body and becomes part of your etheric realm, and moves through your etheric logic. Meaning the energy of knowledge that you have outside of your body. So those two elements are there, and as we look into the kind of broad spectrum of the different idioms and theories of life and the way that we approach how to interpret the universe in an individual psyche, then yes, indeed, you're in that pathway of thinking. And It's about the emanation of your own being, how you emanate, how you express your energy from that internal to external place. A lot of us who are in the element of being intuitives are thereby psychics. We use that world of division between the outside world, that is the world beyond ourselves, and I mean the immediacy of the outside world beyond that. That means that we just don't
like
make
the
prediction.
Alpha state, yeah.
Yeah, and we go way beyond that. We travel light years into areas where there is such divine knowledge that it's even hard to speak the language in the human tongue. because it's a vibrational energy that doesn't that's hard to transform into any given language. But when we come down to it, Susan, you're on that miraculous path of higher energy. You may be at the ground level and just getting your engines rolling, but that's where, you know, we kind of encounter those frontiers like Star Trek. We go into the farther frontiers of the universe to experience not monsters and aliens, but higher forms of esoteric energy. And I mean esoteric energy, not just plot lines and developments that you know, we meet a monster with eight eyes instead of four. That is beyond just the Star Trek energy levels. And I know that I'm using an entertainment analogy, but I'm still using that in order to describe the experience of existence, that it's something foreign from what we have on this planet, something very much different. So when we talk about blue lights and such things, we're not even talking about what normal people would perceive to be a common language. It's uncommon.
Yeah, and probably, you know, not believed either. But so the transmissions, is that telepathic?
Yes.
Is that like energy coming to me?
Yeah, they're telepathic, and they come to you, but then there's the fine level of interpretation. Because we can receive telepathically a transmission, we can receive these energy levels, but it's in terms of, you know, we can hear someone speak in a foreign tongue. We know we hear it. We can even repeat the sounds. But do we really understand the language? That's in the form of interpretation. So interpretation becomes a fine art form that is both defined on an earthly level and an otherworldly level. So that's where part of your challenge would be, Susan.
Yeah, part of the journey is to maybe, yeah. I do get that language sometimes too, but it's telepathic, and it's like, but it's usually in melodies, and it's really nice.
Yeah, melodies, notes, octaves, all of these energy forms are part of the language of the cosmic mind, of the cosmic instinct or meaning, if you will. And yes, it can come through telepathically. You know, that's absolutely true.
And that's in my numbers, too?
Your numbers suggest, yes, you're an 8 like the last caller.
Yeah,
like Phyllis. You're both 8s, 35 8s. So you are people seeking higher energy. Absolutely. You're on that element of seeking that. And when you're doing channeling and transference and transmissions, you're basically talking on a higher level of energy. But 8s, are kind of a built-in vehicle, human vehicle, if you will, that is getting ready to listen to the higher spirit. And from your past lives, in between your past lives, in your astral conferences between lifetimes, you've gathered this information, and it's coded in your brain, in some part of your frontal brain.
So it's a part of our journey. That's beautiful.
Yeah.
Okay, Susan, thank you for your call.
Thank you.
To directly 562-596-7818. Okay. We have a caller from Skype. Good morning.
Good morning. It's Kathy.
Hi, Kathy. And have we spoken with you before, Kathy? I don't think so either. So first-time caller. What's your location, Kathy, and your birthday, please?
I'm in Maryland, and my birthday is
12-13-1953.
12-13-53. And how do you spell the name?
Kathy, K-A-T-H-Y.
In Maryland.
9-7-9, is that right? Did I get that wrong, or is it 27? 3-4-5-6-7-17 plus 8.
25. 25-7. Yeah.
Having a little math problems, arithmetic problems today, Kathy, but we got it. What's your question?
Well, I'm on a spiritual journey, and half the time I feel like I'm going backwards and not forwards.
Yes, well, that can happen.
Well, there's a reason for your feeling that way, Kathy, and it's part of your code. Have you noticed, now, I'm going to use numerology on you today. Your master number is 7 by 25. 25 is your karmic age, which would have occurred around 78. So at the age of 78, you should have had a change in life. It would have been a marked change, something you could clearly define. Do you recall in 1978 any such change in your life? Move, change, relationship?
I'm trying to think how old I would have been.
25. You were 25 years old.
25. Yeah, I think I was engaged and he broke it off.
Yeah. You see, because your engagement's broken off, that's why you're going back. Because at the time of your transcendence, so to speak, you have a broken engagement. You came back to repair a broken engagement in this lifetime. So you're constantly seeking energy going backwards. Now, let me show you something in your birth date that is rather intriguing. As we go forward on a linear pattern in your birth date, your last number is 3, and your first number is 1-2. So that's a broken up 3, isn't it? It's a broken up 3. And then your second and third numbers are 2-1. That's another broken up 3. The following number in your birth date is actually a 3. Just like in the end of your year. So that 3 energy is going, you have to understand something, Kathy. That's the third chakra. That's your stomach. That's the highest chakra of your lower body. So you're compelled, even though you're a 7, which is the crown chakra, which is the highest energy of the body itself, in the immediate body, the crown, spirituality, and all that kind of stuff, you're compelled. See, there's no number in your linear birth date that equates to 7. Aside from the century, you have a 1-2-1-3-5-3. So you're compelled to come back to the planet and reach deep into a past to find an answer. You're like an archaeologist trying to find the definition of our current state and perhaps our future by digging into the past. And your element will, the gravitational pull of your body on the planet takes you back, back, back. Not only in this lifetime where you would psychologically look at your life, but through the curtains of other lifetimes, you go back into, regressionally speaking, you go back into past lives to figure out why you came back to pick up a missing piece and find the completed mosaic of your energies. So that's why you're talking in this language to me, because the compelling factor would be that to go back, first of all, backward in your lifetime, and then backward into your past life, to find out why Kathy is seeking this knowledge and why she's compelled to go back in time to straighten out her current life and then get in alignment with her transcendence. It's a very logical program. It just takes a little effort and accuracy in order to how to transfer the past into the present and then thereby turn it into the future. But that's what the element would be on a kind of a general area of your life, Kathy. I mean, you're 61 years old. There could be some broken, I mean, you already had a broken engagement. There might have been a broken marriage or a marriage that had trouble in it that you had to repair yourself through with some difficulty.
Mm-hmm.
Collection of children. The children aspect would be part of your karma.
Isn't 3 like your power chakra? The solar plexus?
Well, you're right, Kathy, to the extent that it's in your stomach. Your stomach is the lower mind of your lower body. So it's the uppermost energy of your lower body. So people say, oh, I have a gut feeling. Your stomach is actually, on a primitive level, your thinking part of your body, because the stomach is able to tell you what foods to eat that were poisonous when we were cave people. You know, your stomach is your thinking organ. And so that's why we have a gut feeling, because our stomachs are supposed to be telling us what we can eat and not eat, as much as our taste buds, that will assure that we survive. So it is a thinking order. That's why we deem it as a thinking energy. But actually, when we advance into our higher self, our brains take over, our logic takes over, and we don't use that primitive way of thinking. So the stomach is the primitive brain, is what it actually is. And there is that energy. And indeed, when you look at some of the more esoteric drawings and diagrams of the body, you'll see a triangle, you'll see a third eye in the stomach, you'll see all kinds of things. Indeed, it's equatable to the pyramid, to the third eye, to the Trinity. You can go into all kinds of energy fields. Even the third eye, which is in the sixth chakra, is called the third eye. So there is an element of some variety of energy that the stomach does hold its own brain. But it's very primitive. It's like saying a mollusk has a brain.
So am I still seeking? Is that, I guess, my answer? I'm still seeking.
We've got to move on to the caller.
You're still seeking, but that's an action term. Seeking is action, and it's viable, and it's transferable to energy. So the seeking is vital to the approach that you're taking on your map of consciousness towards enlightenment.
Okay.
Well, it pauses there, but the story is definitely to be continued. So you're always welcome to call our show again. You can also reach Neil, 562-596-7818. That's the place to inquire about any further conversation. We're also on Facebook and Twitter, and we appreciate your call. Thank you so much. I think we lost her there. Interference in the line.
Oh. Well, I'm enthused when we get into these higher abstract conversations because it means that we're talking on a higher level.
That's good, yes.
And that's great.
Nice.
I love that kind of stuff.
I do too. So, we appreciate all those questions, of course. Okay, let's take 773.
Hello?
Hello, who's this?
Hello?
Hello, are you there?
Yes.
Okay, it's
Hello?
Difficult to hear you. There's a lot of interference. Who's this?
The north wind.
Do I want to eat before we leave or what?
Are you there?
Hello?
Hello, are you there?
Yes.
This is live.
Hello?
This is live radio. Are you listening to us? Can you hear us? Oh, we got to move on.
Hello?
Right. Hello, can you hear
she's
us?
Gone.
One
I
more
dropped
time.
Her. No.
All right.
Okay.
We're at the back
and
of the
we lost our 229 caller. People come in and come out. 770. Good. 322. This is Maddie, I believe. Maddie?
Yes.
Maddie, hold on a sec. I got to give Neil your birthday. Yeah,
Matty.
And she's 1745279.
45?
Yeah. Okay, Maddie, go ahead.
I was actually, I don't know why, I didn't click one, but I do have a question about a friend.
Didn't click one, but I thought maybe you forgot. Sometimes people forget. So, yeah, go ahead with your question.
I have a question about a friend. I'm trying to mentor her. She's a younger woman,
March 6th, 1970. Okay. Is there a specific question about her, or is it just kind of a general question?
Not a general question. What's going on with her? Because I'm thinking something. Let's see if Neil is going to be on the same page with me.
You know, Maddie, what's interesting about you mentoring this person is that one thing being that your age right now, you're 70 years old, and this person is born in 1970. Now, that's rather important because there is an energy field between you and this individual that's vitally karmic. Also, your master number is 9. This other person's master number 8. That's 17, which is actually your first two numbers of 1-7. And so you do have a past life with this person. Now, remember, 1 and 7 is 8, which is this person's master number. So they're going through a difficulty, and I believe that this is from a past life. Now, let's go into that element for a minute. Your past life with this person is tribal, and I believe that it was a mother-daughter-type energy in the tribal consciousness of this past life. So you were actually a mother to this individual in a past life. It was a tribal set. And in that lifetime, the person was a female and you were a female. So it was your daughter. So and the person So the person was going through trouble back then, and you were responsible for guiding this human being that you were the mother of this individual, through some kind of tribal difficulty that was occurring within the tribal system at that time. But this would have been a different kind of dialogue than what you're having today, which would be, today it would be guiding the individual through an emotional crisis that would lead to some sense of boundaries within maturity and balance.
Yes.
So does that make sense to you?
It does. It really does.
Uh-huh. So we're dealing with that. We're dealing with that element that is important for you rejoining with this person, and once again being on the planet, even though it isn't an offspring. But now you're still in the journey of progressing towards being an enlightened soul for this person, which first starts in the attitude of being a mentor, a guide, a trainer, something along that line. But the person is, I hate to use the word handicapped, but the person has some difficulty in understanding how to cope with life.
God, you hit the nail on the head. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So
a lot of challenges.
That's right. And you take the best parts of who you are and the strongest parts of who you are and continue to guide this person as you have in a past life, and you're fulfilling your purpose and helping another human being in the process.
Beautiful. Because so this person going through the challenges that she's going through, so this is basically part of her karma.
Yeah, part of her karma, and you're mentioning a female, so she retained her sexual identity from that lifetime to this one, and this is part of her karma. But remember that her month and day is 3 and 6. That's 9. That happens to be your master number. So the link between you is closer than you would ever imagine. You've actually gone through what she's gone through in a past life. So you have the knowledge and the ability to relay to her a system of living and philosophy that she can apply into an action. You hang in there, Maddie. You're doing a good job.
Okay, Maddie. Well, we appreciate
it. Thank you so kindly. Wow.
Take care, Maddie.
That was very enlightening. Thank you.
Good. She liked it. Well.
Yes.
She's one of our regular callers, so we're glad she's back. And Maddie can reach you directly, Neil, 562-596-7818. And we've got several callers still, so let's keep moving through them. We've got 15 minutes left here. 706, good morning.
Good morning.
Hi, who's this?
Hi, my name is Sophia.
Is that with P-H or an S?
P-H.
Hi, Sophia, and where are you calling from, and what is your birth date, please?
I am calling from Georgia. My birth date is November 25th, 1972.
Okay. Good morning. Thank you for our fine show. I don't think we've spoken with you before, 1989. So she's a 22.
One of my favorite writers.
November 25th.
Right.
1972.
1972. One of my favorite writers from Georgia is, I believe it's from Georgia, James Dickey, who wrote that great primitive novel, Deliverance. And that was actually a movie that was made in 1972, I believe.
It was made.
Oh, wow. I've seen the movie with Burt Reynolds, correct?
Burt Reynolds. It's an intense movie, but it, psychologically, it's a very deep novel.
And
he's a great
writer.
Yeah,
books are always better than the movies, huh?
And it's been interesting because it's been on our tongues lately. Deliverance.
Oh, wow.
We've been talking about that movie a lot. Okay. What's your question?
The question I have is, am I, and I know this is probably is for everybody, but more so I'm concerned about me right now. If I am to do work in the metaphysical world, in the spiritual realm, what type of work am I more purposely divine to do? What is my purpose in the metaphysical world?
Well,
all kinds of higher questions today. I'm loving this.
Yeah, this is great.
Yeah.
You, Sophia, number one, and I do believe that, are you a native of Georgia?
I am.
Yeah. Wonderful quality in your voice. I've experienced people from Georgia have a wonderful texture in their voice. A lot of them do. And they're storytellers. They're built to give lessons, to guide, to use the attitude of symbols like colors, music, the esoteric essences of that energy, as much as you can manifest it into the sights and smells and fragrances and lotions of energy. So I believe that eclectically, you have this ability to perceive the human spirit through a medium, and that can be versatile. Whether it is through the medium of the hands or the medium of the cards, the medium of the third eye, the general aspect of narration, and cold readings is what they're called when they're really warm readings, in my estimation, when they're attuned to something heightened. I think, too, Sophia, that there's a general folklore energy around you in terms of herbs and foods, the elements of the earth that might be part of the progression of your thinking in terms of this metaphysical element. Now, of course, the metaphysical elements don't always attune themselves to things of the earth. So what you do is you marry the elements of the metaphysical world with the elements of the physical world. So that means the combination between physical objects and esoteric objects or metaphysical objects, things that are fulfilling more on an intuitive, abstract level of language. So when we take those two and we marry them, and there's a sort of priesthood about you, a priestess about you. So I do believe in a past life you actually married people. I think there was some form of religion that you ascribed to in a past life where you actually were licensed to marry people. Now, that's a past life. I see you stepping out of an old church, a white steeple kind of church, traditionally speaking, and you actually married people. I think you were a pastor of some sort. Now, you came back, I think, to give more esoteric language, and one of the more fascinating aspects about your energy is that you're a 25, that's a 7 in your day, and it's actualized as a 7 in your year next to a 2. So that energy of the second chakra is going to be equatable to your 7th chakra. So your 7th chakra and your 2nd chakra have an equation to it that is enlightening in terms of how you put these two aspects together. So I don't know if I've answered your question because I've spoken on rather broad terms more than specific terms, but you are right in to the extent, Sophia, that you are a metaphysical being. We all are, but you're here to actualize it. And you're here to use it under the collection of where you've been in past lives. So you can bring into it diverse fields of energy from theology to spirituality to mysticism and some of those more esoteric elements of thought. So I think it's all in a combination of energy that probably can be enhanced by further discussion, but at least this is an approach to validate that you are on the right track, Sophia.
Okay. And that is what I was looking for, more of a validation. Am I? Because I have a really big pool, and I'm just like, whoa, you know. Yes, be this 5 years ago, I would be like, huh? Me?
Oh, I know.
You know.
Yeah. Well, you're speaking in metaphor about the pool, which is the pool of subconsciousness, but this actually had its seed 3 years ago, where it really started.
Wow.
All right, Sophia. Well, we thank you for your call. And
thank you. Thank you very much. That was very helpful.
Good.
Validation.
Always nice to get validations. 562-596-7818. Okay, two callers left, Neil. 302 and 857. 302 is first. Good morning or good afternoon. Are you there? 302. Silence. Okay. Makes our job a little easier in terms of fitting people in. 857.
Hi, how are you?
Hi, how are
Hello.
You? Who's this?
Hi. This is Keita.
Keita.
Hi.
Hi.
Yeah.
How do you spell that?
Hi.
K-E-D-A. K-E-D-A. Okay. And your birth date, location, Keita?
13078.
137. Birthday.
Thank you.
29-11-2. Okay, Keita.
Yeah, so I just, my thing was really about work, and there's a common theme that happens with work, and there's something just spiritually that I feel like I need to do, which is break away and do my own thing. And I just wanted to know if that was something, I guess, within my numbers that is designed for me to do.
Okay.
Yeah, according to your numbers, yeah, Keita, I go back as far as 12 years where really the general sense of satisfaction occurred, which would have put you about the age of 25.
Mm-hmm.
Now, at that age, did you go to college?
Yes.
Yeah, and were you in college at the age of 25?
Yes.
Yeah, that's what I'm picking up on, Keita. Now, that element was part of your karmic journey. And yes, indeed, you had to come back to fulfill the requirements of obtaining. Did you obtain a degree?
Okay.
Did you obtain a degree, Keita?
Did I get a degree?
Yes.
I actually have two. I have a bachelor's and a master's.
Yeah. And what was that? And just on a side note, is there anybody within your family, immediate family, extended family, that was involved in doctor, nurses, anything with medicine?
No.
No medicine involved. Well, that's coming from a more of an esoteric past life, but we'll keep that energy acting there. What did you get your degree in?
Communications. One's in marketing and one's in communication.
Yeah. Okay. Well, now, 12 years ago, at the age of 25, there was a break. I'm perceiving there was a break. Now, indeed, you're compounded, Keita, because you're a 29-11-2 in this lifetime, which means the second chakra, sometimes difficulty in upbringing, family, there could be a divorce.
Mm-hmm.
But is there any of those things that you could validate?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that becomes a karmic conversation that you brought in to, because you had to fulfill the karma, so it requires a difficulty, and your level of communication is heightened by the fact that you're here to communicate your life through the elements of karma that brought you into trouble in the first place. That's why the divorce occurred. It was karmically induced, but you had to fulfill the requirements of it, which might have also gained you a child or two. But this element of fine communication now takes itself to a higher degree of writing books. Now, have you ever thought about writing books?
Yes.
So have you done so yet, or are you in the process of doing so?
Not yet. No writing. My thing wasn't more so the literary path. My thing was more so the marketing event planning path. That's kind of what
marketing.
I mean, writing is something that I can do, but it's not something that I'm like, I need to do this. No. My thing is more like bringing ideas to life. Yes, not yet.
Yeah.
Not yet.
Not yet, Keita. You're 37. Not yet, but it's going to come. You're going to see. You're going to be writing something. Now, in terms of the marketing aspect, the position of energy in terms of the marketing aspect is the content of what you're marketing. What are you marketing?
Right now, what I'm marketing is more so digital, digital assets, so like websites, email, things like that, but that's not what I want to do. I'm more like arts and entertainment and fashion,
yeah,
and beauty and
right,
clothes.
Right. Now, yeah, because you see, because the art and entertainment and fashion that you're marketing is the stepping stone towards you marketing something on a more of a humanities level. It's something that's more creative in aspect, which will ultimately be part of your process of your growth in terms of the way your mind will expand and formulate it, the thoughts into a book, into content that you're going to be marketing later in life, maybe closer into your mid-40s. But this aspect of communicating and marketing communication through the arts and entertainment is something that you're attuned to do. The only thing that you have to be leery of is how much spiritual content there is in that, meaning that how much you enlightened your audience through the means of communication and the transference of knowledge and making it accessible to the general audience out there. So you have to consider the content, and of course it's free expression and you're probably rather liberal-minded, but you have to consider the content and then thereby look at what your immediate and therefore your expansive audience is going to be and why are you bringing this information to them, even though it's more of a on a more of a fashionable physical level of identification. But you are on the right path, Keita. Basically, when we're conferring to the energy of language, this is equatable to the fifth chakra, number 5. And in your turnover of life from 1-3, which is a 4, to the 19, which is a 14, which becomes a 5, we're talking about the literal energy of your throat. And that is where the communication process begins, in your turnover of life. So, indeed, I do. I know I'm a little bit long-winded, but my words are meant to benefit you in terms of validating your path right now. You're on the right path. You just haven't perfected it to the epitome of what that expression is going to be.
Okay. So I know that we need to wrap up, but really quick, I know that there was some heavy stuff that I was supposed to work through for like the first 30-some-odd years. Am I past that threshold yet?
Well, your karmic number is 29, so that would be transferable to the idea of the first 30 years. And there is a lot of density in that zone. That's where I think the exploration of medicine and child and nursing, that comes from a past life. Because I do believe that in a past life, if we go to reach backward beyond the scope, in a past life you were involved in medicine. Now we'd have to go into the element of that energy, which can include psychiatry in terms of unraveling the things that you were here to undo due to past life transgressions.
And, Keita, okay, we're getting our 90-second warning, so we've got to wrap. But
thank you.
I hope that helped.
That was very helpful. I appreciate it. Thank you.
You're very welcome. And we are back on air on Wednesday, Neil. So
Wednesday.
I hope you're here.
Okay.
Yeah, Wednesday at 10 a.m. Pacific. And I don't know, anything you wanted to add before we close?
Anything I want to add? No. Well, add to, do not add to, take away from these words. I just don't think I want to add to anything at the moment.
Okay. Well, we appreciate our callers and our listeners. Thank you so much for joining us today, and we will see you on Wednesday. Bye-bye.